We're back with another episode of the CTB show after a little 1 week break. We're 3 weeks down in the NFL season and panic is as high as ever. That's going to be the theme for today's episode. I'm Thomas Pokornik, joined by Christian Catanacci as always. Cat, it's been a while. How are you?
Yeah, you know, last time I was here on the show, I was in a great mood. We were coming off a big win against the Cleveland Browns. And since then, we've been 0-2 and looking absolutely disastrous. So we'll get to the Cowboys later on in the show in terms of whether or not I'm sounding the alarm or going crazy, berserk, smashing my head into the wall. But panic is in, right? And there's no other... That's when you know what football is back, right? We're talking week four here. We're approaching week four, depending on when you're listening to this. And the show's theme is going to be panic. Panic meters. We're going to be talking about the panic-o-meter. And there's people that are going crazy everywhere. And it's like there is still another 14 weeks, 15 weeks technically, of regular season football to be played. And people are acting like the season's over, right? And I'm sure we're going to be doing the same thing in the show depending on which team we're talking about. But let's jump right into it, Pac.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's two sides of the coin the way you look at it. On one hand, three games, it's a decent enough sample size where... You know what? You're kind of starting to judge these teams. Like, you know, Sam Darnold's looked really good. Is that going to continue all year? I don't know. But three games is decent enough. No team has started 0-3 and made the playoffs since I think it was the Houston Texans that did it in 2020. I think they ended up winning 8 games in a row after starting 0-3. But they're the only team to do it since the year 2000. So there's obviously a reason to panic if you're way behind the eight ball, teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, and then there's reason to panic if you're, you know, 1-2 and things are just not looking great. Like you mentioned, last time we did this show, your Dallas Cowboys, my Miami Dolphins, were both sitting at 1-0. They haven't won a game since.
Yep.
And one of the reasons why we didn't do a show last week was I was in Miami watching the Dolphins season literally unfold in front of my own eyes in that trouncing from the Buffalo Bills. So there are a lot of teams, I think, in a similar boat where there are reasons to be worried. We are going to decide where we land on what we're calling the panic meter. There's different sort of levels to this meter. We're going to have full-blown panic mode, which is the extreme of the extremes. Sound the alarm, which means we're pushing the panic button. And we want to start alerting everyone that there is definitely a reason to be worried. And then we'll go with, I think, on the other side of the coin, the less extreme, everything's going to be okay. And then maybe one in between called just starting to panic a little bit. It's a little bit not quite. We'll still wait and see on that one. But we will start in the AFC. And what better team to start with than the team that lost on Monday Night Football this week, the Cincinnati Bengals. The 0-3 Cincinnati Bengals. They've had some slow starts, never quite this slow.
Pac, I think I'm sounding the alarm here. I'm ringing it, right? I know 0-3, we're talking like historically, you're probably going nowhere if you're 0-3 through 3 weeks, right? And I mean, you look at this Bengals team and Joe Burrow last night I thought was fantastic. Ja'Marr Chase last night I thought he was fantastic. I thought the offense as a whole was fantastic, but this team was always going to live or die from that defense. And you know what? Let's be honest here. Ever since they've lost Jesse Bates, it just has looked like a... I don't know what the identity of that defense is. And they let Jaden Daniels, who deserves his props, but they let him look like he was Patrick Mahomes last night. And for a guy that is entering his... was entering his first primetime game as a starting quarterback in the NFL, to have him come into your house and just absolutely dice you up is very, very concerning. So I'm sounding alarm for the Bengals because I think this is not a playoff team anymore. I think it's going to get a little bit worse. I don't know if I'm going to say full-throw panic because we're not talking any severe injuries to like Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase at the moment, but it's definitely looking very worrisome for a team that many smart people consider this to be a very Super Bowl hopeful team.
I don't know. Maybe we're in different schools of thoughts. I'm totally, I think, on the other side. I'm not ready to panic yet. I've seen it. I mentioned they haven't quite started this slow before, but the offense really got going yesterday. If you look at their schedule, they've got a couple of games coming up that you are kind of chalking up as surefire wins. And in my opinion, and maybe this is disrespectful to the 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that I really liked coming into the season, but the Baltimore Ravens are still the number one competitor for the Cincinnati Bengals team. They're only one game behind them.
Yeah.
So you have a great quarterback. You have a great number one wide receiver. T. Higgins is finally getting back into the fold. He made his season debut last night. They're getting healthier. I was never sold on this team's defense. I never thought that this defense was going to come in and help win you games. Did I necessarily think it was going to be a reason why they were losing some of the games? No, but I think that's unfair to say through 3 weeks, because yesterday was only the really game where they got carved up and quite frankly embarrassed. No punts, no turnovers, nothing. They were just, every single time they went on the field, they were allowing points. That being said, and sometimes I like to trust Vegas in these situations, our friends over at PointsBet, they're plus 125 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. I saw that this morning. I was like, wow.
All they need is a couple wins. That tells it all. Vegas is not scared. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be okay. Is it a disastrous start? Yes. Is it frustrating that they continue to do this themselves? Yes. Would I be surprised if at some point in the season they rip off 6 wins in a row and everything is A-okay and the offense is clicking and the defense gets a little bit better? We've always seen from the Bengals that they tend to be the best in December and January. And until I'm proven otherwise, I'm still, I'll hold my breath with the Cincinnati Bengals.
I could get behind that too.
We'll stick in the AFC. We'll stick with an 0-3 team. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I will add, quite a tough schedule to start the season. But man, have they looked absolutely terrible.
I think this is going to be the first full blown panic for me. It's concerning. And this is coming from someone that just a year ago, going into last season, I had Trevor Lawrence ranked as a top 6 quarterback in the league. And I mean, I saw a stat on Twitter that I'm going to pull up. It's obviously just typical overreaction fashion, because everyone knows that Trevor Lawrence is better than Daniel Jones. But
is he?
I think so. I think he is. I mean, look, right now, is he playing like Daniel Jones? Yes, he is. And that's the concerning part. But like, look, I mean, 2,900 passing yards per season for Trevor Lawrence, 2,500 for Daniel Jones, more rushing yards for Daniel Jones. He has 330 rush yards per season, 254. You look at the QBRs, though, it's like 51 and 50, 85 career passer rating for Daniel Jones, 84 for Trevor Lawrence, 66 touchdowns for Daniel Jones, 60 touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence. Mind you, he's got probably 2 or 3 seasons ahead of Daniel Jones, but 42 interceptions for Daniel Jones, 40 interceptions for Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's starting to get pretty concerning. And I'm in full-blown panic mode, because this dates back to last year where they lost 7 or 6 games to... They were in the clear driver's seat of that division, and they just blew it last year. And they've let it carry on to this year. I think it's full-blown panic mode in Jacksonville. I think we're talking... Heck, I just said, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is better than Dan Jones. But if this continues, Trevor Lawrence might be... We want to talk about Bryce Young being the biggest bust ever. Trevor Lawrence was like heralded as like the best thing since Andrew Luck. And to see him just absolutely crumble in his early stages... I want to still say it's early, but he's been in the league for 3 years now. It's concerning. Very, very concerning.
I don't want to turn this into a whole like, oh, I was right all along with Trevor Lawrence, because I never really foresaw him looking this bad. But I always said this is a player that we gave his glory to far before he sort of deserved it. And I think because of how highly touted he was coming out of college, just the very moment we saw a glimmer of good play, it turned into, okay, this guy is so, so good. He should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's easily a franchise guy. And I think if you look at his career as a whole, yeah, he had a really, really tough start with Urban Meyer and very tough situation, similar to honestly what Bryce Young went through in Carolina. But it's just like, has he ever really strung together one season where you can confidently say he was a top 10, top 8 quarterback in the NFL? And the answer is no. And I think if of all the teams in the NFL, I would say the Jacksonville Jaguars are probably, like you said, the biggest example of a team that you can rightfully so panic on through 3 weeks, because relative to expectations, this is an absolute nightmare. Jacksonville, you just gave this quarterback $55 million a year to lead your team, and you are one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. And it's just like, these are your years where you're supposed to be competing. And I look at their roster, front seven, they got a lot of talent. They've got a first overall pick in there, and they got a top 10 pick in Joshua Hines-Allen. They should be wreaking havoc. You sign Eric Armstead in the offseason. That should be a strength of your team. Haven't seen it at all. The Bills' offensive line had their way with that front seven last night. I look at the secondary. They've got some young pieces that they've invested in through the draft. They've spent some money in free agency as well. Not a strength of the team. Receiving corps should be good. Christian Kirk, someone who they paid a lot of money for, someone who, quote unquote, reset the market when he was a free agent, hasn't been there this season. Brian Thomas Jr., I think he's been one of the lone bright spots, but it's tough to rely on a rookie. Regardless, the weapons group, Travis Etienne included, has not been a strength this year. For a team that should be good and looks good on paper, they have just been so poor. And it's crazy to say through 3 weeks, Doug Peterson's seat is probably the hottest of any coach in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I think everything you said right there is 100% truth. And it's not an overreaction at all. It really isn't. It's concerning. It's very, very concerning. And that's something that I'm going to keep a close eye on as the season continues to develop. Because like you said, they have had a tough schedule, but still, nonetheless, they've gotten blown out. And they don't look competitive at all. That's the most concerning part.
And it's like, how many weeks now have we been midway through the third quarter and Trevor Lawrence has sub 100 passing yards, maybe just a little bit more. Like, they just cannot get anything going offensively. So, yeah, not great over there. Finally, we'll talk about a team that's won a game, the Baltimore Ravens. And it looked like they almost didn't want to win a game with the way they finished things out in Dallas. But a win's a win. The 1-2 Ravens, how concerned are you with these guys?
I don't want to spend too much time here on the Ravens. I think there's some promise there. I'm not worried by any means. I think this is a team that's going to pick it up. And it's just, again, the fact of a very tough schedule. To start the game, it was a very dominant win for 3.5 quarters of on Sunday against the Cowboys. But this is a team, you know what they want to do, right? So they're going to run the ball, they're going to control the clock, and it tends to be a winning formula in the regular season. When we get to the playoffs, that's a different story. But for the most part, I think there's some promise here. There's no reason to panic if I'm Baltimore.
A little bit concerned about the meltdowns, but Lamar Jackson, I thought he's looked really good in all three games. Derrick Henry, he's finally getting going there. One of my favorite signings of the offseason. They have identity. The defense, I think, will take a little bit more time. Mike McDonald's gone, but this division's going to be won through the divisional games, and we've had none of those yet. I'm confident in those games that the Ravens will step up and perform when we need. So I'm with you on that one. My Miami Dolphins, 1-2, no quarterback, lowest scoring team in the entire NFL through 3 weeks.
Look, if there's one thing that's clear, and look, when it comes to Tua, there's like so many, the range of just pure, there's people that think Tua's elite, there's people that think he's good, there's people that think he's awful. However you see Tua as an NFL quarterback, there's one thing that you have to agree with. Tua, as the Dolphins quarterback, is like, that offense does not exist without him, right? And I think there's reason to be extremely worried here because I don't know what's going on with Tua. I don't know if he's going to play this year. I see he's seeing some neurologist or something like that. I don't know, whatever it is. But if this Dolphins team has to play this whole season without Tua under center, are they even going to win a game? I genuinely don't think. Like, this could be a team that we're looking at potentially having the number one overall pick. And I don't even think that's crazy to say because that offense without Tua under center just looks horrific, which is crazy because they have Tyreek Hill, they have Jalen Waddle, they have Devon Achane. Like, they got weapons, right? They have a great head coach. It just looks non-existent without their quarterback there.
I honestly don't understand it because the Green Bay Packers lose Jordan Love. They're 2-0 with Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Someone who nobody believed in 2 weeks ago, and he's looked very good.
Like, he has.
Credit to Malik Willis. He has played very, very well there. The Browns last year, you lose Deshaun Watson. Joe Flacco, you bring him off the couch out of retirement, and he is torching secondaries. Miami has better weapons than both of these teams. Miami's supposed to have a head coach that is an offensive guru, quote-unquote, and it has just not worked. They've said it for years. Backup quarterback's a priority. You cut Mike White in the offseason. You bring in Skylar Thompson. It's year three in this system for Skylar Thompson, and you can't even score a touchdown in a game where the defense really, really kept them alive. Now, I'm not going to go full-blown panic mode. I am sounding the alarm because I think it's a sign of a bad football team when you're this reliant on one player, regardless of who that player is. And, I mean, say what you want about Tua, like you said. For someone who is so carried by his receivers and in an offense that supposedly anyone can succeed in, nobody's succeeding except for him. I'm going to say I'm going to sound the alarm because I do think Tua is going to be back once he's able to come off IR. So that's four more weeks of that. They only have three more games. They play the Titans at home. You should win that game. You should. You have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Play them both at running back, and you should win that game. Just get the ball in their hands. You got the Patriots on the road, which I think will be very tough without Tua, and you have the Colts on the road as well. Again, Anthony Richardson has been turning the ball over like crazy. Another game I think you should win with the amount of talented players you have on that roster. Without him, like you said, though, they're what are they
bad.
Picking first overall? Are they getting Travis Hunter too to add to the receiver room? Another guy without Tua is gonna, you know, run cardio. I don't know. It's very frustrating. It's the same old song and dance with these Dolphins. But we will move on to the last team we want to discuss in the AFC, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. I think both of us were pretty high on these guys going into the season.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we're a little bit too high. I'm not really sounding the alarm though. I think this is just the growing pains that you're gonna that comes with a guy like Anthony Richardson, right? Look, he missed majority of last year, so this is technically his rookie season, right? He's shown flashes, he's shown some concerning trends, right, with turning the ball over. But I'm not necessarily like going over here and saying, "Oh, he's a bust. This team is a joke," right? Like, I think they've shown enough promise to be somewhat hopeful that they can turn it around in the back half of the season. So I'm sort of just stagnant on them right now. I'm not panicking, but I'm not necessarily like, oh, okay, no, I'm not worrying at all. I'm just staying put and we'll figure it out. Talk to me in about eight weeks and I'll figure it out with the Colts.
I always say rookie quarterbacks suck. So you kind of got to give this guy to Thanksgiving. Yeah. It's very rare to expect Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud. I know that's 2 years in a row that a rookie quarterback has looked that good. And I mean, Jaden Daniels is far from completed his rookie season. It's just very, very tough to play quarterback when you're very, very young in this league and you just don't have a lot of experience. And Anthony Richardson, he didn't even play a whole lot in college.
Yep.
He's a guy strictly brought in based on his raw athleticism. And he's very exciting. But it's just one where I think we need to temper our expectations for a little bit. Crazy that they won that game in home to Chicago with how bad they were offensively. But, hey, that just shows signs that, you know, they're more than just their quarterback, and they can still find ways to win even when the turnovers are ugly. We'll move on to the NFC. The Carolina Panthers are 1-2 with one of the most dominant wins that we've seen this season and then two of the worst losses we've seen in probably about 10 years. Where do we stand on this team?
It depends how you look at it, to be honest. Like, if you're talking, are you panicking with Bryce Young? Yeah, I'm done. Bryce Young's done. He's done. I'm telling you, if this cemented anything, it's that Bryce Young he's going to be playing for another team next year. It's Bryce Young's career as a Panther is over. He'll get his shot somewhere else. He'll get one more shot. But for Andy Dalton, what is this, like 2013? I'm watching Andy Dalton come and sling like he's throwing AJ Green. I couldn't believe it. I think it's exciting. The Panthers are clearly going to roll him out. Who knows? Maybe this team is actually pretty good. And maybe it was just Bryce Young sucking. That's why they were awful, right? And we're going to have to see. This is another case. It's like, I don't know, right? Now you got to sort of reevaluate the Panthers. Talk to me in 3-4 weeks and we'll see what they do there, because that win against the Raiders, they look pretty good. They look sound. I mean, they just lost Adam Thielen for a couple weeks, but who knows? Maybe this is a pretty good team.
They've got a very interesting matchup this Sunday against the Red Rifles winless Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wouldn't really surprise me all that much if there's a storybook triumphant. Maybe Andy Dalton's this year's Joe Flacco.
Yeah, who knows?
And he goes on a
who knows?
Big, big run. But it looked exciting. I think if I were to grade this on the panic scale, I would have to go full-blown panic mode, though, because I'm addressing this as an organizational kind of feeling. And because how mismanaged, I will say mismanaged, I'm not going to put this all on Bryce Young. I know how good Andy Dalton looked, but I just think with the amount of head coaches he's had in his short career, I feel like this was probably the owner's decision to bench him.
Yeah,
I find it very, very shocking for a first-year head coach, Dave Canales, to come in and bench his struggling quarterback from the get-go when he's kind of known for being like quarterback whisperer. I'm very fence-sitting when it comes to Bryce Young because I watched some of the tape and he looks really, really bad at times. But then I'm also of the mentality of, hey, he's a young quarterback. He needs to be supportive. But just how this situation has gone, even if Andy Dalton comes out and is exciting and they're just average, it's still a disaster because of how much you gave up for him. And it's still like, what do you have to build for? What do you have to look forward to next year? Because, you know, Andy Dalton ain't no spring chicken.
He's probably going to be in the retirement.
I was watching Andy Dalton when I was, you know, 7 years old.
I know. It's true. It's very true. I don't know.
The Panthers are a weird one, but who knows? Maybe they can be fun the rest of the year. The Chicago Bears.
I'm not panicking either with the Bears. I don't know. I think there's some promise there, right? Like, Romo Dunze's looked really good. He's one of only three players to have 300-plus air yards the last 2 weeks. And, I mean, they're all rookies, Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. Caleb Williams, when he's had time in the pocket, has looked fantastic, right? The offensive line is obviously concerned, but this is a team that has still a very good defense. And like you said, rookie quarterbacks struggle. So talk to me after Thanksgiving, and we'll see where they are then. I'm not panicking. I think there's enough promise for me to be kind of confident in the Bears still.
I think that's well said, just because of the flashes that Caleb Williams has shown. My whole thing with the Bears is I don't have much confidence in the regime. And I think if Caleb Williams is going to work in this league, it might be under another head coach. And then when you factor that in, to me, they're just burning time.
Yes,
burning
years. I can agree 100% with that.
Because through 3 weeks, it just feels like they're not getting things right offensively. He has zero time in the pocket. The offensive line's a disaster. And it put a lot of that on coaching just because they've invested, you know, decent capital into a lot of these players. And they should be better than this. And that's where I am with the Chicago Bears right now. Because they should be better than they are playing,
sure,
even this early in a young quarterback's career. I'm not expecting him to dazzle in the stat box, but a lot of the issues that they have offensively right now are just not great. I don't think they're getting the most out of their very, very talented receivers, and I just don't think, like, to me, the plays that Caleb Williams has looked good on, he's had to be a superhero.
Yeah, 100%. And
they're not putting him in a situation where he can just,
yes,
you know, make a simple read and a simple throw and scheme guys open. And they have the players to do that. So, a team that I was kind of comparing with Chicago is the Denver Broncos, who I don't think are as good. I don't think are as talented. But when I watch Bo Nix, I just feel a little bit more confident that, like, oh, this coaching staff is maybe going to get more out of him, put him in a better situation to succeed. Definitely not as talented. Definitely can't make as many plays. But with Caleb Williams, it just feels like, all right, Chicago, you know, let's be a little bit better at supporting 100%. your future of your franchise.
I agree. So
I am panicked a little bit, but I also agree with what you said. It's still early. I think he'll have games where he throws 300 yards, 3 touchdowns this year, and he looks amazing. We got two more in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers, the 1-2 49ers, and Brock Purdy always gets criticism when they lose. He was great last week.
Yeah, he was. I'm not worried about the 49ers at all either. I know the injuries are piling up, but let's be honest, this is probably the best coached football team in the entire NFL. They just absolutely unfolded on Sunday. I get it. The Rams were desperate. They were staring 0-3 right in the face, and they just said, you know what? We're not losing, and we're going to come all the way back. And credits to Sean McVay either. Like, you know what I mean? Sean McVay is fantastic. But I'm not worried about this 49ers team at all. Give them a couple weeks. Again, like, this, who cares? It's 1-2. It's 3 weeks. This is a team that's gone to the Super Bowl a ton of times in the past. Maybe they do it this year. I don't know. But I still look at the 49ers and I see a very good football team, even if they are starting absolute scrubs on the side of the street. They're still very good. Kyle Shanahan's fantastic at scheming guys open. Like, it's crazy, right? Juwan Jennings comes out of nowhere, 175 yards. I look at that and be like, Kyle Shanahan's a wizard. Speak for yourself. I know Juwan Jennings, no disrespect to you, but let's be honest here, right? If they can continuously do that, there is no reason for me to panic. 49ers, I'm chilling. And you should be chilling too, for sure.
I think at full strength, they'll be just fine. No one's going to remember come playoff time the teams that were 1-2 in September. It doesn't matter. I think they'll get their act together. I think they'll be just fine. And hey, I also think Brock Purdy has looked pretty solid. Really tough matchup as well. Again, that Vikings defense has just been incredible. Last and certainly not least, your Dallas Cowboys.
I'm sounding the alarm here, Pac. And you know what? I was able to just sort of sit back last week watching the game on Sunday, and I was like, you know what? I should have seen this coming. I should have. Because this is a team that signed not a single outside free agent minus one, which was Eric Kendricks, an old linebacker who's played fairly well. They lost Tony Pollard, absolutely did nothing to replace it. Brock back Zeke, who, let's be honest here, can't even move, right? They got in a running back committee. They got no run game at all. And not only is it going to suck when you got no run game, but on the other side of the ball, they can't stop the run. And now there is a clear blueprint on how to beat the Cowboys. And I was watching that game. Baltimore essentially did the exact same thing that New Orleans had done 7 days prior. And that, to me, is very concerning, right? When you can't control the clock and your defense is just getting gashed in the run game, the offense, sure, yeah, it hasn't been pretty, right? When you have one receiver that they could just easily double, and your wide receiver two is an aging Brandon Cooks, and they got Jalen Brooks, an undrafted free agent who's playing wide receiver three snaps, it's very, very concerning, right? And you look at this Cowboys schedule coming up. They're in Pittsburgh soon. Well, after this week, they got Thursday night against the Giants. They go in Pittsburgh, at home to Detroit, in San Francisco, in Atlanta, at home to the Eagles, and at home to the Texans. Like, that is a brutal stretch. And what is the main sort of common denominator here? The Steelers run the ball fantastic. The Lions run the ball better than anybody in the league. The 49ers always give the Cowboys fits with the run game. The Falcons look fantastic with the run game, especially just having Kirk Cousins there. They look like a completely different team. They gave the Chiefs a run for their money. They should have won that game if they took the points like they should have. The Eagles got Saquon Barkley. Now, their run game is top-notch. And the Texans are the Texans, right? Like, this is a concerning stretch here, right? And as a Cowboy fan, I'm petrified because I think this is going to get incredibly worse, and the vibes around this team are just awful, right? You have CeeDee Lamb throwing fits on the sidelines. Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence are throwing fits at each other. It's just a bad look. And you know what? When you have so many consecutive seasons winning 12-plus games, all it takes is a 1-3, 1-4 start for it just to all boil over. And I don't think people are buying into McCarthy anymore. I think the regime is over. I mean, look, he's a lame duck coach, right? He's sitting here without a contract next year after winning 12 games, three straight seasons, right? You don't see that often, but you see it in Dallas. Jerry Jones is a master at his craft, somehow always produces poor football teams that make boatloads of money. I don't know how he does it, but I'm sounding an alarm as a Cowboy fan, and I think all of Cowboys Nation is too.
Very, very interesting. Part of me is just like, you know what, the Cowboys got so much skill. They have so many big-name players on big contracts, and everyone likes to rag on them for their roster construction. And I was kind of thinking, like, you know what, everyone, you know, you can't pay a quarterback this much, you can't pay a wide receiver this much, you can't pay, you know, a cornerback this much. Like, how are they going to pay Micah Parsons, all this? And everyone's expecting that the rest of the roster is going to start to get weaker. I was kind of thinking, like, every other good team pays that. All their good players. Anyways, for me, where it's different with the Cowboys is there's nowhere in the roster, skill-wise, where they've really ever had to sacrifice someone. And because of that, they are built pretty poorly, I think, up front, especially like you said, in the run game. They just cannot defend the run at all, and they also have no run game. So that's a very, very important element of both sides of the ball that they just completely do not have at all. I look at a team like KC. Yeah, you know, Mahomes, the contract kicks in. You're paying Kelsey. You're paying Chris Jones. All these star players. You also lost Tyreek Hill. You know, you have to bite the bullet in that aspect. San Fran has, I think, a top five highest paid player in almost every single position, but you're only paying your quarterback $900,000 a year. The Lions have all these big contracts. A lot of them haven't kicked in yet. And also, they got the best offensive line in the year, and they can defend their run. So every elite team that I feel like the Cowboys should be rivaling in, yes, the roster construction's a little bit the same in the sense that they're paying their good players too. But I think a lot of them have certain areas where they just they have a break right now, and it's just it's quite lucky. And that's why I kind of feel like maybe this window that the Cowboys, I think, had was shorter than a lot of us thought. But also, I don't know, you got CeeDee Lamb, Mike, like, you have some of the best players in the NFL on that team. I think they'll manage, you mentioned that tough schedule, I think they'll find a way to win, hopefully half those games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful they will, but I've seen this story before, and honestly, I'm very, like, I don't know, there's just something bad, there's a bad vibe around this team right now that I don't know if they'll be able to shake. I want to see this game, because there's no better way to get right than play the Giants on a Thursday night football game, so we'll see how that goes, but I'm not getting my hopes up. For this Cowboy season at all right now.
Well, you speak of that Thursday night football game, Cowboys-Giants. The Cowboys are, what, 4.5-point favorites? 5.5-point favorites. I saw the line was moving a little bit.
Yeah.
And that brings us into our week four look ahead, and we're going to start off with our spread picks because 5.5-point favorites for a matchup last year that the Cowboys won 40-0, and I believe in Dallas they smashed them too, has kind of caught my eye. I'm not sure if you're going to pull the plug on it. I think you have first pick this week. And you're 1-3, man.
I'm 1-3. It's concerning, man. I went 0-2. I mean, we didn't do it last week, but I went 0-2 the prior week. But you know what? I'm going 2-0 this week, Puck.
I'm 4-0 in the season.
I have three picks. Don't worry.
Like a lot of the picks this week. I have some written down. I'll see what you pick. But here we go. Our week four spread picks, sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet, the official betting partner of the CTB show. If you're the ultimate competitor, you know the value of a home field advantage, and at PointsBet, that advantage is yours. With top-notch customer support and easy deposits, come make your picks with us on PointsBet and enjoy a seamless Sunday of football. 19 years or older, and please play responsibly. Cat, you are up on the clock with the first pick, sir.
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. 1.5-point favorites. I know they're on the road in Indianapolis, so it's a little tricky there, but I think this is just a typical Anthony Richardson is going to struggle against this type of defense, right? I think this defense, again, it's going to be a very low-scoring game. Give me the Steelers -1.5. They're rolling right now. They're 3-0. I expect them to make it 4-0. Before their schedule starts to get a little bit more tricky down the stretch. These Steelers are going to win, I want to say 17-10 type of thing, 20-10. Anthony Richardson's going to struggle. The Steelers are going to cover fairly easily.
Love the formula. Great coach, great defense against a rookie quarterback, and you know, not a lot of points for them to cover. So I can easily see TJ Watt having Anthony Richardson in all sorts of fits and him having a long day there. And man, the Steelers, I wish we got to talk about them on the show today. I'm loving what I'm seeing from them this season. I know the schedule gets tougher later on, and everyone's going to love to point that out. This is a very good football team. My first pick. Man, you didn't... I mean, I like that one, but it wasn't on my list. So now I've kind of got... I've got some options here. I'm going to stick with a similar formula. Great head coach against a rookie quarterback in a team that has struggled so far. And the Los Angeles Rams, their backs are up against the wall this season. And I'm getting them as underdogs in Chicago at 1 p.m. on Sunday. They're +2.5. Stafford, Williams, I got the quarterback matchup that I like. McVay, Eberflus, I got the coaching matchup that I like. Rams, keep your season alive. Keep finding ways to win games. You're .500 if you win this one. I'm sure fans would take that in a heartbeat considering the loss of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Yes, the Bears have a good defense, and yes, they're at home, but I like the Rams to cover here.
Yeah, Puck, you know what? I like that. I had that written down, but... I clearly can't take it anymore. My second pick, though, you know what? We're sticking on this trend of going against rookie quarterbacks. And I know it's hard to go against this guy because he just diced last night. Give me the Arizona Cardinals -3 at home against Washington. I just think this is an offense that is going to give that Washington defense too many fits. I don't expect Jaden Daniels to go into Arizona and just do what he did against a very, very poor Bengals defense. I could see this being a relatively close game, but I think Arizona's going to ultimately pull through at the end of the day. Give me the Cardinals by 3. I could see them winning by 3. Maybe this is a push. Who knows? I just feel confident in this spot. Home team, rookie quarterback coming off a big win. It's hard to sort of replicate that. I'm going to take the Cardinals minus 3.
Okay, I don't mind it. It wasn't one that I had written down, and there's actually 3 that now that I have left that I actually really liked. One of them is the Cowboys on Thursday night at home. I just think they're in for a bounce back spot. On the road, I think they're in for a bounce back spot. Giants coming off a big win over the Cleveland Browns. Another one is the Bills being underdogs against the Ravens. Again, another road team, but just with how good they've looked, I get it. Sometimes there's weird things, and maybe they don't come out at full force. Ravens need the win as well, but the Bills have looked very good. They're underdogs. But I got a perfect record on the line. And you live and die with your boys. And the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. This is your last chance, Mike McDaniel. You need to find a way to get just competent quarterback play out of anyone not named Tua Tagovailoa. Because you have had so many guys now come in. Teddy Bridgewater, Mike White, Skylar Thompson. Tim Boyle looked half decent last week. I think Snoop Huntley is going to be starting in this one, though. They're 1-point favorites at home versus the Tennessee Titans, a team that has head coach has come out and said, if we punt it on every first down, we'll win the game. That is how bad this offense has been, and Will Levis has been a turnover machine. Also, may I add, this is a revenge game for the Dolphins. Last season, Vic Fangio specialty, his defense surrendered 15 unanswered points with just minutes to go on Monday Night Football to the Tennessee Titans late in December at home, and it ultimately cost the Dolphins the AFC East title. You need to win this game. If you lose this game, I don't care if Tua's coming back. You're not making the playoffs. This is one of those games that when the schedule comes out, it is a must-win. Primetime at home against a winless opponent. Miami, minus 1. That's my second pick of the week.
You know what, Pac? At first, I was like, but you convinced me in that. I didn't have it written down either just because I was like, that game is probably going to be the worst Monday Night Football game I've ever seen.
No one's watching this game. Have you seen the other Monday Night Football game? Seahawks-Lions. Yeah. Everyone's going to forget this even exists. It's at 7-2. Yeah. No, but I'm the only one watching this game.
Nobody's going to watch this. Just you, Pac. But you know what? I'm coming around with it. And you got your perfect record on the line. So live and die with your boys. I don't hate it. That's our points bet picks of the week.
Yeah, make sure to tail them. You can also tail us every Monday. Our Monday Night Football parlays are out there. This Monday, I'll let you do a Seahawks-Lions Monday Night Football
and
parlay.
You do the
I'll do a Dolphins one because I know you probably don't care about that Dolphins game. But anyways, it's an exciting week 4, and it's definitely exciting with our game of the week. And I think this week we're going to highlight the Bills going into Baltimore. The undefeated Buffalo Bills go into Baltimore this week to take on the Baltimore Ravens. And this is our tick pick game of the week. The best place to find NFL tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Make sure to use code CTB20 at checkout for $20 off your order. Kat, will the Bills stay undefeated in this one?
You know what, Pac? It's crazy because they lost Stephon Diggs, and this is a team that many people expected just sort of missed their window, but Josh Allen seems to be playing out of his mind. James Cook is fantastic. This defense is good. I think the Bills are better this year than they were last year. It's very, very interesting. I think this is one of the most interesting teams in football at the moment because they are just dominating, right? It's, again, everyone knows how good they play at home. That's outside of the question. So I want to see this team travel into Baltimore, a Baltimore team that's very, very, you know, they're good, but they're still figuring stuff out, right? And they got their backs on the wall because they don't want to start 1-3. They're at home looking to get back to 500. This is a team that, let's be honest here, right, is on the ropes. I know they just beat the Cowboys, but they almost fell apart at the end of the game. I like the Bills in this spot. I really do. I think this, as good as Baltimore is, I think they are a little bit, they're not the same Baltimore team that they used to be at this moment. So I like the Bills to stay hot, man. I think I'm going to take the Bills here too. There's just something about this Buffalo team. I think Josh Allen's playing with a chip on his shoulder because he heard the talk. He saw a lot of people, oh, Josh Allen's overrated. Heck, he got voted the most overrated person by his peers. That is the most overrated player by his peers. That's outrageous to me. It's crazy. I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. Give me the Bills in this game.
This is a really tough one for me. I think the whole Josh Allen panic, calling him overrated, I think anyone that was panicked about the Bills going into the season has not watched enough of them. I've watched Josh Allen torch the Miami Dolphins so many times that going into the season, I was telling everyone, this is still the Bills' division to lose. They're still the best team in the AFC East, and they might, right now with how they're playing, they might be the best team in the entire AFC. So do I think that they are a better team than the Ravens through 3 weeks so far? Yes. I am going to pick the Ravens in this one just because in the NFL, you can't always go off what you saw the week before. Otherwise, Fair. The team with the better record will always win. The Ravens are at home. They feel a little bit more desperate, and I feel like they have also not yet shown us their best. If they can control the clock with Derrick Henry and the run game, keep Josh Allen off the field, I think they have a good shot. I think they have a good recipe to win this game. And on defense, the Ravens, you guys were so, so good a year ago, so, so dominant. We haven't seen that yet. This is your biggest test yet. You neutralized a very, very powerful Cowboys offense for 3.5 quarters a week ago. Let's see an even bigger test with Josh Allen, who right now, to me, is the MVP favorite. So there it is, Bills versus Ravens. You're rocking with the Bills. I'm rocking with the Ravens. If you want to go to this game, check out the best ticket prices on TickPick. And once again, use code CTB20 at checkout. But there it is. That is this week's edition of the CTB show. Another week in the books in what has probably been
crazy.
One of the strangest starts to an NFL season. I mean, Sam Darnold's an MVP candidate. Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0. And Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals are winless. Actually, the two highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, 0 wins. A week ago, the 5 biggest favorites all lost straight up. You never know what to expect. That's why we do this show every week, to talk about all the crazy things that happened on Sunday. If you made it to the end, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.